Powered by Red Media in partnership with TSN, it is season 5. This is episode 47, I believe episode 47 of the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast, presented by your title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who have released the Canadian Club Invitation Series, the delicious CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask. Signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey, finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Cask. And Ray, here I am. For all of the people on our YouTube channel can clearly see I survived another NHL trade deadline and all the shenanigans that goes into it. I mean, it culminates into the day, obviously, in the 3 o'clock Eastern deadline. But I don't think what hockey fans understand or realize is everything that goes into it leading up to that day, right? Like just the constant calls from a management perspective and then the constant pestering from an insider perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just thankfully, mercifully, it ends on a Friday, which was nice, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. You go into the weekend, end this thing off, and everybody can now just focus on what these teams look like and hockey instead of all the nonsense.
Yeah, and that's why I think with all the build-up and the talk and the possibility that leads into the day, that's why it's always a lunch bag letdown when it's over, because each team or each fan base thinks and hopes that their team will do a little bit more. Yeah. But it's just never that easy, and it's become more and more complicated, not less complicated, as time's gone on. I mean, how many times did we hear of a trade in the last month where there's three teams involved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not three players, just three teams. And then now you're trying to figure out, like, teams are trading draft picks 3 years out. And, you know, like Vegas trades with Calgary, and they have the option of keeping the pick this year or moving it to next year. And the reason they kept it is because then they used it later on for Thomas Hertl. And, yeah, like it's complicated to follow, and it feels like, to me anyway, like it's over. And you're right, now there's nothing else. It's like, this is your team. How can your coaches get the most out of the team that you have? And who's going to be the healthiest? Who's going to get the best goaltending? Like it comes down to just a few variables from now in.
I always enjoy the reaction from certain markets and certain media, right? It's like they analyze trades, and fans do this, you know, based on, okay, well, let's use Tyler Toffoli as an example. I had a sense going into the day on Friday that Winnipeg had a shot at Tyler Toffoli. I felt early in the morning it was an outside shot. Obviously, they find a way to make that deal work with the New Jersey Devils. But it's interesting to me, and you know, it was kind of widespread when people look at the return that New Jersey got for Tyler Toffoli, or go down the list, Noah Hanifin, any of the big pieces, right? And it's like certain markets go, well, why didn't our general manager pay that?
Right.
You know, it's so selective. It just doesn't work out that way for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a myriad of complications.
One of them is that New Jersey got a second and a third round pick for Toffoli. Some of the other teams that might have been interested don't have a second round pick.
It's a problem.
You can't make it up. And so I was talking to one guy, and they're like, well, why didn't they just trade a first? Well, because he wasn't worth a first.
Yeah.
And then you get into the discussion, well, they've got to do something. Well, why do they have to do something? If the something is trading a player or a prospect that you're very high on that you think is going to be part of your immediate or longer term future for somebody for 20 games, unless you think that player puts you over the top, why are you going to do that? It's exactly. I don't know. I think it's more complicated than even most of us drags in the periphery of the business. Like, we're not in it like you're in it, but in the periphery of the business, it's easy to say they should go and get that guy.
Yeah.
Except it just, sometimes you go and you're at the store and you don't have enough money and you don't buy the thing that you want. And that's just the way it is.
And I'm not throwing shade at some of the media. I mean, we all have unique jobs, right? And the columnists have to provide their opinion on the good, bad, and the ugly, whatever it is. So we're going to dedicate this episode clearly to the 2004 NHL trade deadline. And we're going to start with Vegas in the headlines, brought to you by Tim Hortons.
Roll everybody's favorite team. Sorry, everyone's favorite team.
Roll up the win is back, Ray, with big prizes. Big, big prizes. I mean, how about there's 10 new all-electric Volkswagen ID.4 vehicles. You've heard me talk about my boat at the Cabbage.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Tracker Targa. All right. So Tim Hortons is also giving away a 2024 Tracker Targa boat and trailer. Mm-hmm. They've got Princess Cruise prizes, Hilton Hotel vacations, over 14 million Tim's prizes, including free coffee, donuts, Timbits, and of course, Tim's reward points. For the full list of prizes, details, and more contest information, check them out online, rolluptowin.ca. All right, to Vegas. And I understand, you know, some of the criticism, because again, people need something to talk about. But more, I admire the work and the execution required to continue to overcome the cap and health challenges that seemingly plague the Vegas Golden Knights. The Tomas Hertl trade, Ray, I mean, that capped a wild but methodical attack on the trade deadline by Golden Knights GM Kelly McCrimmon, who acknowledged in his media avail after the fact that he has been understandably working on that Hertl trade with Mike Greer and the San Jose Sharks for several weeks. Just didn't land on his desk like people think on deadline day.
The complications of the trade become what long-term space Vegas has. How much money does San Jose have to take back? What are the prospects? What are the players that might be going back and forth? Like, there's several layers to it that the layers become more complicated as the time runs out. It's always easy, I'm sure, 2 weeks ago to say, okay, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Well, eventually tomorrow turns into yesterday, which is Friday, and you need to make a decision. Mike Greer's got to make a decision. The Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon, they've got to make a decision. And that thing came in late. Like, that was right under the wire. And the other thing about it, you can't get by this. And there's two things that honestly piss me off about the narrative around Vegas. And one is that they were gifted a Stanley Cup contender in their first year. All these guys, and you said you wouldn't call out the media. I do, because nobody said that July when Vegas picked their team. Nobody. I can't find anybody, because if they did, they would bring the receipts that said this is a championship team. Nobody said that. No. It was a collection of guys that were good players, certainly better than the previous expansion, but nobody said it. It's revisionist history. The second part is the way they dance around the LTI stuff. Any team can do this. You just need a player to be injured until the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you can say it's good fortune. It sure as hell not good fortune for Mark Stone. It's not good fortune for Nikita Kucherov a couple years ago. These guys are undergoing surgery. Like, have most people been in surgery? It's not that fun.
Hard to fake a lacerated spleen, right?
But
that's a hard one to pull over on someone.
Last year was back surgery. They didn't know what they were going to get out of Stone. Turned out he was amazing. So they had the circumstance to use LTI to expand their player pool. If this is really a problem, and I do see why teams are frustrated with it, I think your roster for any playoff game has to be cap compliant. That's it. That to me fixes all of this in one little pen stroke.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, we're going to talk about that at the GM's meetings, which are coming up. Well, they start a week from Monday
in Peoria. Peoria.
No, Florida.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Really nice. Manalapan, have you been there? It's very nice.
No, I have not. Yeah. No, I haven't been.
So, I mean, that topic always comes up, and, you know, it's always around the trade deadline, because you're not wrong here. I mean, Vegas is going to have I haven't done the math, but it's well over $100 million in, right. in payroll in the playoffs. I think the Toronto Maple Leafs, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're north of $140 million. They're the top team. Yeah. Yeah.
How?
I'm saying in playoffs, when you include everyone, Matt Murray, I mean, go down the list of all of the pieces,
again,
right?
I don't mind that. I don't mind that if it's done within the framework of the rules, which clearly it is. I just think the roster has to be, the game roster that night has to be cap compliant. Yeah. If you're bringing in Matt Murray from left field, well, then you got to delete $5 million somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
And that to me is the most simple, straight ahead way to correct this.
Here's what I don't like, and we're going to get it again. And I'm giving you my word. I will push the commissioner on this because he tries to dismiss it as soon as we ask the questions. And then he'll tell his managers, don't talk about that.
Okay.
Don't talk about that. Don't talk to the media about that. So anyway, we'll make a big deal of that as part of the meetings. Just wrap up thought on Vegas then. So yeah, we've talked about the Hurdle trade and he'll be back at the end of the regular season or thereabouts. But they also add Noah Hanifin, which was a nice splash he had on that blue line. And prior to that, Anthony Mantha, which I mean, he was getting stale in Washington. I like that move, you know, given the size of the human being, but the idea of maybe, you know, him hitting a reset or feeling refreshed with a new start in Vegas. I mean, he might be a real nice ad for them down the stretch.
Did you see his first shift?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the guy gets out to Vegas. Yeah. I'm sure he's super excited. The first shift of the game goes on. There's a whistle. There's a face-off in the Vegas zone. Yeah. They drop the puck. He high sticks Nils Höglander in the face, gets a double minor. He was on the ice a second. It's like it was remarkable to, and just the look at, he's looking up at the clock at the penalty.
Yeah.
And you could almost think like, in his head,
on,
like,
really?
Come on, really? This is ridiculous. Now, Mantha had started to play a little better in Washington. The complaint or critique of Mantha always is his consistency. If he moves his feet, he's an effective player. I suspect he's going to, Right here, right next to his ear, is going to be a Bruce Cassidy sound box.
Oh, boy.
That he'll either will or won't.
Right.
But he's going to get the message.
Yeah.
And if he does, can be a really effective. He should be a 20-plus goal guy every year.
Agreed.
Every year. And he can play with enough of an edge to use his size to be a factor. Hanifin's a good player. I mean, like, he can do a lot of different things and he skates well and he adds size to a team that's already huge. Vegas is, you know, they've had an interesting couple of months here and now they sit in the second wild card, right? Like they're not even the first wild card anymore.
They got to lock it down. Yeah.
I don't have much fear that I don't think they're missing the playoffs. What do they got here? They got a 6-point lead on Calgary for the second spot. I think they're going to be fine, and I think they're a team nobody really wants to see in the first round.
Right. Well, I mean, we try and declare winners and losers on deadline day, and I say we, it's mainly the main panel and analyst guys like yourself, but I mean, I think everybody would agree that Vegas is one or two on that list of winners.
Sure.
Winnipeg has to be right there too. Kevin Cheveldayoff adds Tyler Toffoli on deadline day, but you can't separate that ad from Sean Monahan, who we acquired earlier from Montreal, and Colin Miller, who is serviceable, right? Like that's a nice depth ad on defense. So the general manager in Winnipeg has given this group, his head coach, the assets needed, you know, to go as deep as they might go. I mean, I don't see too much weakness when I look at the Winnipeg Jets. How about you?
No, I don't. And Winnipeg and Vegas, it's kind of funny that you bring those two teams up. They both had excellent deadlines, really, really good work by their managers and the scouts that promote the players. Yeah. They put their necks out on the line and say, he's the guy that can help us. But just think, so if Winnipeg's going anywhere, they're going through Colorado, right? They got to get out of their division. If Vegas is going anywhere, they got to go through Edmonton and Vancouver.
I know.
Like, oh, by the way, I forgot Dallas in the Central as well. Like, there are terrific teams that have had excellent years and probably felt they did okay at the deadline or in the weeks prior, and they're going to be done in 10 days.
Yeah.
Once the playoffs start. You could do everything right, and it still might not work out. Like, I look at Winnipeg, I'm like, that's a good team, and their backbone is an excellent goalie, maybe one of the best two or three in the league. Yeah. So, like, where's the weakness? I don't see it. I do like the addition of Miller, because if somebody goes down or even Miller moves into the lineup, you're putting in a guy that can handle 15 minutes quite comfortably. And so that's a nice depth package to go with Toffoli, who can score. He's got, what's he got, 26 now? Mm-hmm. And he's been a playoff proven scorer for them. I think they're a very good team.
You know, it's funny how deals come together. Obviously, doing what we do, you know, you had Jake Guentzel, who we'll talk about clearly in a minute or two here, going to the Carolina Hurricanes. But then number two on that list of available forwards would have been Tyler Toffoli, I would think. Again, as I mentioned earlier, my spidey senses were tingling that Winnipeg was on Toffoli, but I can tell you, just based on my sources, like that deal came together yesterday, on Friday, on deadline day. It really did. And I think it was because, you know, the Guentzel trade to Carolina happens on Thursday night, and Tom Fitzgerald and the New Jersey Devils are obviously waiting for Jake Guentzel to get traded so they can establish what that market looks like. So Winnipeg and all the other teams with interest in Toffoli really couldn't get any traction until yesterday. So,
well, and then just think, if you're not in on Guentzel, but you want to be in on Toffoli, and you know you got to wait to Guentzel deal to be done, how long can you really wait? Because Tom Fitzgerald in Jersey is going to wait as long as he can to get the best deal that he can. Eventually, you got to move off that, because you don't want to get left with nothing if you feel that's an immediate need. And then if you want to move off to Foley, you've still got to have the right amount of assets to move somewhere else. Yeah. Like, maybe you don't have it. And Fitz was in a good spot with Toffoli, because once Guentzel went, teams were going to, you know, directly focus on him.
Sure. All right. Well, let's just go to Colorado. I do want to, or to Carolina. I do want to talk about the Oilers and the Avalanche. You want to go to
let's finish the West. Let's finish the West.
All right. So the Oilers had Adam Henrique, Sam Carrick, Troy Stetcher. You know, Henrique, I think we certainly got the sense that that was Kenny Holland's primary target up front. Mm-hmm. How much better are the Edmonton Oilers post trade deadline now?
Well, I felt they were a forward short for sure. I felt their fourth line was a little small, although they had been really effective for them. So they probably plug a couple of holes there with, you know, assuming Henrique produces. I see they had him on left wing the first game. He's playing center the second game. Here's something you're going to see over the next week or two, is that as the new players come to their teams, they're going to get bounced around a little bit as the coaches try to figure out where's the best spot. Now, I think Henrique's better in the middle. They tried him on the wing. Now they're moving Ryan McLeod back to the wing, where he was really effective earlier in the season. So it gives him some versatility. Carrick's strong and tough, and he's a good penalty killer. Mm-hmm. And much like we talked about Colin Miller, Stetcher can play. Stetcher is one of those guys. He's a little bit not as well-rounded as Jared Spurgeon, but he's little and he plays bigger and he doesn't get pushed off the puck. Like, that guy can play. That's a nice add for the Oilers. So I think they are better. Their story, like last year, their story was written, in game five of the playoffs. Stu Skinner got outplayed by Aiden Hill. Game six, it was outplayed, and see you later. Because that series was 2-2.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's going to come down to Skinner, who I happen to think quite highly of. I think the Oilers are look, nobody's a runaway favorite like Colorado was 2 years ago.
No.
But the Oilers are a very, very good team.
Yeah. Okay. The other Alberta team, Calgary, I mean, did a lot. I mean, Craig Conroy had a ton of on his plate. True to his word, you know, he said that he would not let unrestricted free agents walk. You have to get return. And he got return. Maybe the fan base doesn't appreciate what he did. I think he got fair value in the pieces that he moved out. Some work to do with Jacob Markstrom, right? Because right or wrong, Markstrom got dragged through the mud in this process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not because that's what Craig Conroy wanted. Craig Conroy, as a general manager, has to continue to be the architect of a better roster. And he had to listen to the interest from the New Jersey Devils.
Okay, so, Dregs, I'm going to stop here.
Yeah.
What I don't get is how does any of that get out? There really should be three people.
Right.
Four people that know about this.
Mm-hmm.
The manager of the Flames, the manager of the Devils, the player, and the agent.
Right.
That's it. Mm. And if it comes out, then you know it's one of those four. But is it, like, I can't imagine it's Markstrom's wife. If it's an assistant in either side, they need to find that out.
Right.
Because that is an untenable situation for Markstrom. He doesn't deserve that. And now, I mean, there is no road forward, really. It doesn't seem like it with him in Calgary come summertime. And that's, yeah. I mean, Craig Conroy's had a laundry list 42 things long since he took over. Mm-hmm. And he's plugging away the best he can at it. The part of the problem becomes that nobody knows anything about the assets that you bring back, because a lot of them are draft picks and players that are 21 or 20 years old. So nobody knows anything about them. And so it's easy to be outraged because you're just not familiar with it.
I'm also okay with the position of ownership, Murray Edwards, right? I mean, he's looking at Jacob Markstrom. He's already traded, you know, his two top defensemen in Hanifin and in Chris Tanev. I mean, you don't just fold your hand on March 9th, the day after the trade deadline. I mean, the view of ownership, maybe management to a degree, is, okay, we're still in this, man. We're going to battle right to game 82, and maybe there's a chance of clawing our way into that playoff picture. There's no chance without Jacob Markstrom, and that would have been the position of ownership.
Right? Sure, and that's fine. I still don't think it has to be out there the way it was.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
To me is a bogey somewhere.
Okay, yeah. All right, Colorado. Who'd they add? Duhaime, Mittelstadt, Myers, Trennan.
Walker.
Walker, of course. Yeah. Sean Walker from Philadelphia.
I like unload, what they did.
Unload Ryan Johansson. But they also traded a key piece, right? In getting Mittelstadt, they traded a key piece in Bowen Byram, who, I mean, Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres are doing cartwheels. Love that fit moving forward in Buffalo. All right. So you just said you like what they did in Colorado. And again, it just fuels the arms race, right? In the West, it is going to be unbelievable entertaining to watch how the dust settles towards the end of the regular season. And most importantly in the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you why I like it. Colorado was heavy left-handed on the blue line. Byram and Sam Girard were not very effective on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing in Sean Walker, who's had a very good year in Philly and is an unrestricted free agent, gives them some balance on that line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important, because it became more important as it was apparent that neither Byram nor Girard were comfortable on the right side. They just weren't. Some guys are, some guys aren't. And so now they'll have lefties and righties on every pair, and I think that's a benefit. They needed to address the second line center. That Johansson didn't work out there. They got him on a cut rate from Nashville, $4 million. They move him along. Nashville puts him on waivers, but they get Mittelstadt in that deal. Now, or they get Mittelstadt in the Byram deal.
Byram,
so they address their second line center position. And can Mittelstadt play to the level they need? I don't know. He's never had to do it. He's never played a playoff game.
Yeah.
He's made progression, as a young guy in the league. But is he going to be able to do that? We're going to find out. But they feel like they got a guy that can slot in behind McKinnon. Mm-hmm. They added size in Trennan and Duhaime on their fourth line. Their third and fourth lines now get bigger, a little more aggressive. I like what they did. I really like it. It's another good team. I mean, all these teams, they're good teams, and they're half of them are going to lose in the first round. Like, that's just the way it is.
It feels like this is season five of the Ray and Riggs podcast, and probably through the last four seasons through the playoffs, we've talked about, you know, going into the playoffs or into the trade deadline, what Carolina needed, right? Carolina needs more offense. Carolina needs this. Carolina does that. So Carolina makes a blockbuster, I would say, with the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday night. Jake Guentzel comes into town really for multiple pieces. You've got prospects. You've got the first-round draft pick. You've got Michael Bunting, who's going to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But they also added Evgeny Kuznetsov, which many look at as a gamble, which, you know what, it's that time of year. It doesn't matter what the history of the player is. In this case, he's coming out of the joint, you know, program between the National Hockey League and the Players Association. But from a hockey perspective, Guentzel, I'm sure you like in Carolina. How about Kuznetsov?
Guentzel, I like a lot. They miss that one shot guy. They miss a guy that can score. I envision him with Svechnikov and Aho. Now, it might not play out that way, but I'm like, geez, that kind of fits. You know, Aho would be the distributor. Guentzel would be the finisher. Like, I like that a lot. Pittsburgh's return is, you know, feels underwhelming, but I mean, what was it going to be? Pittsburgh's trying to dance this line. It's almost impossible. And that's to retool and get better, but get younger at the same time. It almost one does not equate with the other. It's a really difficult thing that they've got. The decisions are not going to get less. They're going to get more complicated as you get to July 1st and Sidney Crosby's possible extension. Like, it's not going to get easy.
No. Did you see that the other day, by the way, Thursday night? I don't know
interview?
Who asked that. Yeah. But, I mean, they just got slapped around, you know.
Yeah, but you got to ask.
You got to ask 100%. And I don't want to try and get between the ears of Sidney Crosby. You could clearly tell, you know, he was frustrated by the night that he had just experienced, but he just dismissed the question that you're asking the wrong guy. You know, well, he's got to be worried about the direction. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I would be worried. And that loss, they lost 6-0 at home. That was a disappointed, discouraged team.
Yeah,
that's what that loss was. And now, can you, for 20 games, can you pick yourselves up off the mat and compete? I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll have a great 20 games, but it's the same guys minus Guentzel.
Yeah.
You know, and so the inconsistency that's plagued them all year, I don't see it just disappearing right away. But back to Carolina, Kuznetsov's interesting to me. He plays a slow game, a puck control kind of meandering game, which is 180 degrees from the way Rod Brind'Amour and the Hurricanes play. So I'm really curious as to if it can work and does it work and how does it work. That's an interesting one for me.
Okay. Florida adds Tarasenko, Kyle Lopezo. And then, again, I like crediting the managers because, look, they're the ones that execute this with, of course, their management groups and pro scouts and all of that. Kevin Adams told me yesterday morning he needed to do right by two guys. Kyle Lopezo, his captain, and Eric Johnson. Lopezo wanted to go to Florida, and that's where he goes. So good on him, right? There is a human element to the trade deadline. You're not just moving pieces.
Right? If you can, right?
Yeah. So you like that added depth by Billy Zito and the Panthers?
Yeah, I do, for sure. I was really impressed with Tarasenko last year in New York, just in how hard he worked. It's not that he was super productive, but I was like, wow, he really tried and played a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. And then he had a good year in Ottawa. He's going to a really good, really good team in Florida. Avoid at all costs if you got a chance to play them. Like, don't play them because it's probably not going to go well for you. I mean, they're big and talented and fast, and they got a really good goalie and a good defense. And so Tarasenko fits in their top six. That allows him to drop Cousins down in the lineup. And then you add Oposo into it. And he can still play. He's not going to win you any foot races, but Oposo can play. I think Florida's, yes, I think Florida's a very, very formidable team. One other piece of business is they got Gustav Forsling signed long-term. And if fans don't get a chance to watch Florida much, you'd be surprised at how good this kid is. Drafted by Vancouver in the fifth round, traded to Chicago, traded to Carolina, put on waivers. Now he's a top pair defenseman. It's a remarkable journey for him. And that guy can play. Man, he is a good, good player. Oh, one other thing back to Carolina. I want to say, I just remember this. You know, like they always say we don't like rentals. We don't want to get into that business. And now they're getting a rental with Gensel. They've also got 11 other guys that are out of contract at the end of the year. The entire team is rentals.
Jeez. I tell you, you know, when Tom Dundon first came in the National Hockey League as owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, he was out there. Yeah, he's still out there. But there's a big part of his approach that I appreciate, that I like. You know, it is about the money. It's not about the money. And then it is about the money. But in this case, he wants to win, and he'll worry about the money and how he collects and puts the pieces of that puzzle back together in the offseason.
Man, Donnie Waddell didn't tell us any of this the other day, did he?
No.
This isn't exactly the Ferraro for Camille Piros or whatever his name was. Kirill Piros. I don't even know Piros, the guy that he traded.
St. Louis. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't think we can escape the pod without talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Only because of the size of the market. Yeah, I tried, but at least I just kind of leave it out there, right? It's the last item on headlines here. You know, again, because of the size of the market, I'm sure it's the same in Vancouver. You know, fans, media questioning, why didn't the club do more? That's kind of how we started the podcast. In Toronto, Brad Treliving ends up with Ilya Lyubushkin. So he looks after that right shot. You know, he got a piece. You know, he wasn't going to get Noah Hanifin Tanev, the right shot. And when Tanev went to Dallas, then Lyubushkin turned out to be the next guy on the list for Toronto. Joel Edmondson, it doesn't really matter to me what the analytics say. I like the character of the individual of Joel Edmondson, and I think he's going to make that group better. And then people I don't think really know what Connor Dewar is. They pick him up from Minnesota, but he's a depth forward. I think a fairly reliable center, penalty killer. He's got some bite to his game, does he not?
Yeah, he's not big, but he'll play with energy and tempo. He's not going to change. You're not going to change your team,
right?
You know, but he's an NHL player that gives you more depth. It's not like the Leafs' fourth line was just humming along and you're like, oh, we can never break that line up. Right?
No,
so you've got what you've done is you've put a little churn into the lineup. And so now the coach has a few more options.
Yeah.
I think he can help them. As far as the 2D, I keep reading a lot about how well Edmondson cross-checks people in front of the net. Well, okay. Eventually, you got to pass the puck too, don't you? Like these guys add an element that they didn't have. It also speaks to the position of the Leafs' defense that they needed to add the size. They needed to add the firmness that both of them have, Edmondson and Lyubushkin, to their game. But they're simple, straight ahead players.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are now more options on the blue line. It seems like you've got a bunch of 4, 5, and 6 defensemen in Toronto, and you'll try to move them around to the best way that you can to get the best on that particular night. So one thing in Vancouver, I'll use as an example, is it's not like outside of Hronek and Hughes, it's not like they've got a bunch of top pair defensemen. What Rick Tocchet and Adam Foote do is they switch the pairs around a lot depending on who they're playing, what's going on in that particular game. And so it's kind of a on-the-move defense pair group. And I think that's maybe one way to look at what Toronto's tried to do. Because eventually you run out of assets. Would it be nice to have Chris Tanev? You bet. Would it have been nice to have Sean Walker? You bet. They don't have the assets to get them. Yeah. And so you move to the ones you can't afford.
And look, I don't want to be a doomsday forecaster here, but let's see how it plays out for the Maple Leafs, right? If they don't have a deep playoff run and they get bounced in the first or second round, well, then guess what? Brad Treliving probably is going to do something far more dramatic and impactful to that core in the offseason when you have a little bit more flexibility across 31 other teams to embrace something like that.
I'm going to throw one other little poof into this thing, and that's like many things, Toronto's different than almost every other team. Mm-hmm. They've got a new head of the board coming in at the end of the season in Keith Pelley.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we think the plan might be, it's Keith Pelley's plan. Right?
Yeah.
And so it could be a different direction, right? It could be a different direction. It could be the same direction.
Right.
Like nobody knows. And the next 6 or 8 weeks in Toronto will be very interesting because at the end of that, there'll be some clearer view as to what the path forward is for them.
Right. All right, those are your headlines. Thank you to our good pals at Tim Hortons.
Ready to roll? All right, let's roll.
Whoa, I'm rolling in it.
Play the 60th anniversary edition of Roll Up to Win on the Tim's app today.
Our interviews on Rand Dregs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey. You have released the Canadian Club Invitation Series. CC 15-year-old sherry cask, all the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. We'll dive into Ask Crane Dregs anything. What's today? Saturday? How about Tuesday?
Well, I think Tuesday works. Sure. I think we can get that done. I'm back home.
We'll get Zuby to fire out just a prompt on X and social media, and we'll load up the Ask Ryan Driggs cupboard. How's that?
I like it. I like your thought there.
Okay.
Because I got to get going. I got a game today. You know.
I know you do. Scoot. You know what I got to do?
I don't know. Nothing.
I got to start mail it in March, baby. That's what I got to start.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. I got the pens. I'm sure it'll be, we'll go talk to Mike Sullivan. I'm sure he's going to be in a great mood today. And then Jim Montgomery, and then we'll go to the Pens and the Bruins, and then I'm on a flight at 8 o'clock back home. So
good deal. I'm going to hang out with my buddy Phil Potter for a bit today, and then prime rib on the Pit Boss tomorrow.
Oh.
I've decided either rotisserie or Pit Boss. The Pit Boss gives it a little bit of a smoke. I'm not sure I want that. I might go a little bit higher end on the rotisserie on the barbecue.
Mm. This is a big decision you got today. Yes, I'm going to try and get through the open without screwing the game up. So you go make this decision. And we'll talk to everybody on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. And hope your team didn't disappoint you too much at the trade deadline. They did the best they could.
Thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Ray and Riggs, our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. Till next time, stay safe, everybody.